Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I say, thank you, Jessa, for the introduction. You know, it took me 6.5 years, you know, with this institution. Yeah. And the thing is that I survived all those years. Certain time I thought, now, like they say, wow, sometimes the seminary become like a cemetery. Yeah? Almost. Huh? I say I'm a slow learner. 6.5 years for me to clear this. But I think those years of struggle were, I think, very good years. They are some kind of a defining years, you know, to pump something into me. Because why? I was happily working outside. I was with the Singapore Air Force, working for 20 over years. Those who serve 2 years, you make noise. I served 20 over years, more than 10 stints of the NS. And then I heard the calling, so I came to study in seminary the first 4 years. Big struggle. When you've been working for so many years, then you come and start, come to study again. You know, you go through the whole cycle of, you know, the grind of studying. So it was the first few months were terrible months. And I think you all, you know, probably have gone through that. How many of you graduating this coming end of this semester? No. All first and second year.
Some of them next
me. Like Jessa, just started. Wow. Yeah. You've got a long way more to go to enjoy life in seminary. Yeah. Let the seminary define you a bit in certain ways. Today my topic is from, given this text, I was given a free text, so I chose Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. But my focal one actually is on verse 10, you know, because I'm sure you all have heard sermons from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. So I have concentrated on 10. But of course, I will put into it some kind of background to see what this text tells us. Now, before we continue, shall we just go to the Lord in prayer? Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for this lovely time that you've given us, that we can have this time to not only praise and worship you, but also to listen to your word. Lord, I pray that even as the words have been preached this morning, you'll open up our hearts and our minds, Lord, to hear from you what you have in store for me, for us, that we can learn from you. For in Jesus' name I pray and ask this. Amen. Let me take this. This one goes strong. It makes me look a bit, have the feeling that I got cameras following me. Since I'm alumni, I can take out the thing and preach. Now, what is the setting of this Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8? But before that, what is the setting of it? Before it says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy. You see, hear the word of mercy. Made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Now, see, there are two words I want to pick up from here. It's just mercy and grace. And I want to add one more, justice. What's the difference between justice, mercy, and grace? Well, it's like this. Let me just give an example, some kind of a story. Assuming you are the one, you are down in your I won't use the word luck. You are in a very challenging time. You are staying with your, let's say, your mom. And then the situation is that it's very bad. It's a rented place. And then you are running short of money because why? No work. So you are looking for work. And every day, you see, sometimes you got only 1 meal a day. So your mom, at night, she gets very, very hungry. And also, she used to get headache. So you got no job. You go and look for a job, right? You might go from place to place. You might stay in Ang Mo Kio, but you might go down to somewhere in Bukit Batok or what to look for a job. But you cannot find a job. Let's say then you see this shopping area, like, okay, maybe NTUC. Yeah? Then you go in. There, you see, you got not much money left, you know, you want to save money. But see, you saw some Panadol, and say, wow, that's good for the mom, correct, not? So what do? You think, well, nobody is looking, say, just one packet can help. So you take one packet of Panadol. Then after that, you look around as you're going out. You see these cookies. You say, well, at least mama, when she's hungry, she takes some, at least, you know, it can bring down her hunger a bit. So you take a cookie, just a small packet. You put inside a pocket, you're wearing baggy pants. Then on the way out, but you see, when you do that, the security, they saw that. So you wait until you go out of the shopping, the NTUC or the shopping center, it catch you. You did not pay for those items. And then there, it show you the sign. The sign says, shoplifters will be handed to the police. Ah, okay. So he bring to the store manager. The store manager say, okay, you were caught stealing this. What have you got to say? She said, well, I'm very sorry. I say, I got no money. My mother is sick. She's in pain. So I take one packet of Panadol and some biscuits for her. Then the manager said, okay, supervisor, call the police. Because the sign says, shoplifters will be handed to the police. Correct? So you call for the police and you're taken away. Now, what is that situation called? Justice has been done. Correct or not? You cannot steal. They say you steal, you will be handed over to police. So, justice. Now, what happened if, let's say, the store manager, he heard, he says, really, your mother really sick, you are that poor? I say, yes. And he looked at you, he says, okay, maybe you are. So he said, okay, I'm going to let you go. I'm not going to call the police, but don't come and steal again. So he let you go. Now, what is that called? Mercy. He's showing mercy. Oh, you're getting very good. He's showing mercy to you. Now, what if, as you're walking out, say, hey, wait, you can take the Panadol and the biscuit. I believe in your story. You bring it to your mom. Now, what is that called? Grace. Huh? Grace. Grace. Why? Because you don't deserve that, correct or not? You deserve to be handed over to the police. Now you get this biscuit and the Panadol, something which you stole. That's grace. Can you go further or not? What happened? He says, he tells the supervisor, here's $10, take some more, one packet each, give extra, then go. So the supervisor go there, buy two packets of biscuit, two packets, and let you go. What is that called? Huh? More grace. Huh? Abounding grace. Now, what happens if you see, you think I'm okay, right? This Bukit Batok, are you going to go back? You got no money. He said, I will walk back. Then he called his manager, tells, supervisor Peter, take my car key, drive him home. What is that called? You don't believe in that. It's amazing grace, you know, Lord. Wow, you don't ever expect that, but you get that. So that's the difference between mercy, justice, and grace. Okay, just touch that a bit. That's just a setting when you haven't come to Sunday. Nah? Now, then comes to. Now, this is where the text is. But I say our concentration is on verse 10. But I just touch a bit. Say, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. This one, I think I like this, no? Because can you imagine if you are saved not by grace, but you are saved by works? Can you imagine if you go to heaven and suddenly you see your neighbor? Hey, how did you come here? What did you do? And you say, I come here because, you know, I'm rich on earth. I'm a successful person. I help the poor. I give money here and there. And I deserve to come to heaven. Do you want such a neighbor or not? Huh? Proud, like it's by work you're going to heaven. No, it says you're not. It's not by works you enter into heaven. It's by the grace of God. God is the one who set the condition for us. So it's by grace we have been saved through faith. So we enter heaven that way. Now it says, that is what it is. Not by your works, so that no one can boast. When we enter heaven, it is by God's grace, not by our who we are or by our works. And this is the verse today. I want to concentrate a bit more. It says, for we are God's handiwork. created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are God's handiwork. Now, when you see the word handiwork, what is our understanding? Handiwork has the understanding that something, hands have been put into it, imagination, somebody has already think of something and make that product. And when that product is finished, it is the handiwork of that person. Just like nowadays, you don't see so much of it because of division of labor. You just do one small bit. Maybe you just put in two screws and then screw and then it goes to another. Like. But last time, handiwork is that if let's say you are a violin maker, everything you do, no? You do the filing, you do the gluing, all this and that. Finally, when the violin is finished, he tests, the sound is very good. Then he can sell it. That is what your handiwork. That is what a finished product. Now, where do I point this here? Now you see here, I want to see the NIV is that God's handiwork. Now, you see, usually when I preach, I don't show Greek, you know. I don't have Greek. But here I'm with two fellow students. You also learn Greek and Hebrew, right? Easy or not? Two of the toughest subjects are Hebrew and Greek when I learned that. So just in case before my Greek grow rusty, it might be a bit rusty, but something like this. No? The verses, what does it say? Autoka esmen poema. What is poema? Poema is where you get the word poem. Poem or product, you see? Product means something finished. A poem is something that is finished. What is a poem? Do you all know what's a poem nowadays? How many of you take poetry in class when you're studying? Put up your hands. The older one maybe, yeah? Dr. Fong got, right? Mr. Peter Tang also probably got. The rest of us? What is that? Well, the modern version is more like the rap or the songs you sing. That is more like it. Because, you know, but the poem last time is beautiful because somebody had crafted it. Poem has got certain style. Some words must rhyme. There is rhythm to it. There's beauty in it. So when the poem comes up, it's a finished product. And that product is beautiful. Poem. Now, poem says, if the interpretation says you are God's poem, when you read, say, what is that? I'm glad the translators to use the word, don't use the equivalent of poem. Because there's only one period, one era in history where poem becomes something which is very well accepted, very well looked after. There was a time after the Renaissance, there was a time of the Romantic period. Where people are the men, when they want to, they like the girl, they want to serenade to the girl, right? Either you sing song, or there was a time where poem will do. The lady might be, you know, at the window, the second floor, and you're there. But you cannot write poem. So you go to a poet. You go to a poet, the poet will write for you. Okay, then you can, then you read the poem to the lady. Then her heart will so melt. I mean, it's that kind of setting, the poem. You see, the translations, they put it this way. Have you all seen this poem before? The slightly older one got that. Water, water everywhere, and yet the boss is string. Water, water everywhere, need any drop to drink. Wow, beautiful. It's the rhyme of the ancient marina. I got it. But, what is that? It's a poem. You see, the words there, they got rhythm. There's a structure there. And it's beautiful, it comes out. But if I take a million words, water, 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 in pieces, and I take, you know, all the others everywhere, you take a few million words, you throw up in the air, and they drop. You can throw them a million times, you will not get a poem, correct or not? Because poem, somebody must have thought about it, or put this word here, this is the meaning. I'll give an example. This is Samuel Coleridge. This is the person, Samuel Coleridge, You all recognize him or not? Huh? Samuel Coleridge. Ah, yes. But a lot of you don't know who is that guy, correct or not? Huh? But if I show you this man, how? Who is that? Bill Gates. Why? Because, wow, successful technocrat, correct or not? If I show him another one? Steve Jobs. You all know. But Coleridge, a lot of you don't know. Huh? Who is that? Why? Because poets now listen. Can you imagine if you tell your parents, and say, Mom and Dad, I feel called, I'm going to seminary full time. I think a lot of you, you don't get the support anyway, correct or not? Your parents say, huh? Have you considered it properly? But can you imagine you're at the dinner table, you're about to eat, your dad about to drink the soup and say, Dad, I know what I'm going to do, I'm going to be a poet. Tell you, your dad will get choked, you know. Say, go there, test your forehead. Fever, no? Because why? Poet, you cannot make a living nowadays. So, you see, poet different. So, the interpretation of it now, let's see, there's only one period during 1970s, early 1800s. Poets can still make very good living. Now, I show you a Malay poem. How many of you know Malay? Yeah, this is a classic. And then you see, it's a finished product. You know? And then sometimes they go there during the time, they are very artistic. They can say, buat cempedak di tepi pagar, ambil gala, tolong jolokkan, saya budak baru belajar, kalau salah tolong tunjukkan. It's beautiful. There's a message to it, you know. And then some of them, they use it as a song. And then others say, rasa sayang, So, you know, it live on, but that's a poem, a finished product. It's beautiful. So, but I'm glad they don't, translate you are God's poem. Because a lot of us will probably not understand it that well. Huh? So it says, they have put the poets are getting out of passion and out of job. So it comes to the interpretation. I'll show you a few. Now, NASB interpret this way, translate this way. For we are God's workmanship. Just now was your God's what? Handiwork. Now you are God's workmanship. For we are his handiwork, except are created in Christ Jesus. This is the translation of NAS revised version. Okay, now there's one more which says this. For we are God's masterpiece. Have you seen this version? It is the New Living Translation. And I like this translation because it is very apt. It is very, it shows very clearly who we are actually. You know. We are not only a finished product, but there's something special about this finished product. Why? We are God's masterpiece. Now, if I show you this picture, if let's say you got children and your child, maybe grade 3, come back with this picture, what do you think? Wow, my child don't got some problem or not. How come? Say, hey, son, how come the face look a bit different, the color different? This is a mirror image, right? Why you draw that? How come the tummy so big, the head, the neck so long, or it's the neck actually, and the hand like that? Why you get worried, correct or not? But what do you call this? Just a work of art, a piece of painting, correct or not? Why? Because there's no implant. But what if? There's a title to this. It says, Girl Before a Mirror. Now, how much can you sell this painting for? You sell, go to the museum, then you look something like maybe people offer 3,000 or what. Nah? But the estimation of this is this. 179.4 million US dollars. Why? Why? Because of this person. Because of this person. Somebody say painter, right? Who is this person? You know him? This one confirmed. Some of you say Picasso. This one confirmed, right? Picasso. If it is Pablo Picasso, it is what? It can fetch such a heavy price because this painting was painted by a master painter. That is why it's called a masterpiece. Some we see. If that picture, you go to the Salvation Army thrift shop, they put there $80, you'll not even buy. Correct or not? If you buy, your wife, you bring back, your wife will say, why you put this painting? You want to put outside? No, la, put inside the storeroom. Correct? Because you don't know the value. But if it's done by a master painter, things change. So in this, you see, who created us? We must know. We are created special by whom? None other than God. Who is God? He is the master creator. So when you are his creation, creation by the master, then what does it make you? You are his masterpiece. Don't downplay that. That's why I like this translation. When I saw that, I was so happy. See, wow, he hit the nail right on the head. Because when you become a Christian, what happens? Remember Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, what does he say? Therefore, if you are, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. So when you receive Christ, you are a new creation. You are born again. God has made you special. No, each one is different. Any two of you are the same? No. You receive the same spirit? Yes. But we are each different individual. Because God created the special. We are different. We are crafted unique and special. Now, if you don't see this, I got something. Jessa, can you help me? Now, do this for me, please. Don't see. Just put your hand, take one piece. Don't look at it first. We will look at it together, okay? Now, just give each one. See, just, yeah. Don't see, but just hold it. You can feel it. You can take for your neighbor, so it's okay. Because just a little illustration, because sometimes when you read too many books or listen, once in a while it's good to see some illustration. Some of you want to eat it, you can, yeah. Okay, now, what is it? Now you can see, what is it? Huh? It is a piece of stone. No, this is a special piece of stone. Do you know that this piece of stone has been molded and crafted by the hand of God through nature? As it flows through the river, it erupts each other, and then comes this stone I got from the U.S., not from here. That's why, now, let me tell you, when that happens, when God's hand is in it, that's illustration of each one being an individual, unique. Every stone is unique. Now you look at, you just show your stone. If any of you are, the two stones, you can see identical stone, you bring to me, each one will get $100 from me. Because I'm very confident, none of the stones will be the same. Correct? No, they are unique. Each stone is unique by itself. So this is a small illustration to show that each one of us is unique in the eyes of God. No, you are special. So don't treat us as as nothing. That life is nothing. No. And the very fact that you're in seminary, you are more pressurized, but there is a certain gifting in you that is required. That God is allowing you to go through this phase. Why? So that you get tempered, you get toughened, you get trained. You get equipped to do his work. And that's what we are created for. Why would we be reborn again? And then why don't the Lord just take us up? No, he wants us to be down here. Why? Because he wants us to see our uniqueness. and for others to see it. Why? Because in this text also it says we are crafted also to do good works. You know, when you become a believer, what are you supposed to do? When you become a believer, you say you are a follower of Christ. It means you have identified yourself with Christ, correct or not? You carry the name of Christian, follower of Christ. And followers of Christ, what are we supposed to do? Good works. What are the good works, then? Usual one, visit the poor, feed the poor, visit those who are sick, visit those in prison. All those things, yes, it's good. It's good works. And also, some of you know that, as it's written in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, what does it say? You're supposed to do what? And you'll see power from on high, and you shall be what? My witnesses. Here in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. That's all part of the good works that we are meant to do. So being in seminary, I think it is preparing us to do better job better than what we are doing now. And hopefully it does that, that we come to the seminary, that this don't become a cemetery, but that you come out stronger to do His work. So are you prepared for that? Yes. Must be prepared. Must be ready, you know, yes. Because when you go out, it's tough. The first few years in my ministry, my third year of ministry, I nearly give up, you know. In one of the council meetings, I excused myself from council. I went to the toilet. I said, Lord, I don't need all this. But then, I hear His voice. He says, are you a shepherd or are you a hireling? Then I hear His voice and say, I'm not a shepherd. I'm not a hireling. I'm a shepherd at heart. So I continued. And until now, I say, just to share a bit, some of you are laughing because you know what? Do you know that I have retired twice? I retired, after I asked for early retirement from the Air Force, then I went to join the church that I was with. Then after about nearly 20 years in the church, I retired. I reached the retirement age, I retired. And then God called me again to pastor and church. Can you imagine? I'm in my retirement age. Then I sense God calling me again. And the church, I've been serving end of this month, just this end of this week, end of my 5 years with this church. And I'm supposed to be retired. And you see how important you are. Because why? I told them 3 months ago, get another pastor to take over. I want to retire fully. I want to do other things, But they cannot find anybody. So say, pastor can stay at least one more year. Okay lah. But you see, if God allows me to do that, I believe God will give me the strength. God will give me the energy to do it. And that is who our God is. I don't rely on my strength, I rely on His strength. Because I'm way past the retirement age. I'm also way past the, what's the government's recommended retirement age now? 63. Coming to 64, correct, not? And then retirement at what age? 67. They haven't increased yet. I'm way past that. Yeah, but you see, I feel that it's such a wonderful privilege to be able to do that. Because why? We are in a ministry where God has put us in because He looked at us as special. We are special to Him. Do you believe you're special? So when you are that, what do you do? We are called to walk worthily in Him. No, we carry the name of a Christian. When people see you, what kind of description do they describe you? Oh, you're this Christian. worse than others. Some at the working place are Christians, worse. They step others more than others. Correct, not that kind of situation. But we see we carry the name of Christ, Do we carry it? Do we bring honor to His name when we say we're Christian? we start, I think this chapter, this verse is very good to help remind us again. Examine ourselves. We are His masterpiece. We are supposed to walk worthily according to the name that we are attached to. We belong to God. We are Christians. So carry ourselves high. The world might come after us. The world is always trying to oppress. Do you know that Christianity, you are the most pitiful religion, I tell you. Other religion, you say something a bit bad about the leader only, your name put on the death list. But for Christians, there's no hold but. Call anything you want. Even the name of Jesus Christ, they can use as a swearing word. But you see, but we still survive. We don't worry about all those. We carry ourselves as Christians. We are special to God. Because to God, our value never changes. Each one of us, we are valuable to God. And I will end with this. But before I end with this, I want to read certain things. I take certain excerpts from this. I think Paul, when he wrote this to the Ephesians, I believe he got a glimpse of what the psalmist says in Psalm 137, say, you have searched me, Lord, you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Then you go down, to 4, he says, before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, knows it completely. You hem me in behind before and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. And then in verse 13, it says what? For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret places, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. You see, before we are even born, God knows us. You know. So when you know Him and you receive Him as your God, things change. God made you into a new creation. That creation is special. That creation is valuable to God. Each one of us. Our value to God never changes. No matter what status in life we are valuable to Him. And to end it all, I say, we are very special to God. God loves us dearly. We are valuable to Him. Oops, how do I go back? Okay. Because we are God's masterpiece. And I want to end with this. You see, for us in seminary, I'm not so sure how many of you do feel that you have been sometimes hemmed in, pressurized. There was a certain time I was pressurized very badly. And I want to illustrate this. What is this? It's a $10 note. Is it valuable or not? Why? You got value like $10. You go downstairs, you can still buy 2 bowls of noodles, correct? No?
1 bowl.
What the value is? But, that one bowl is extra liao one. That's why $10. You know, you buy, and now you go to hawker center, you still can get noodle for $2.70 or $3.50. You know, because that's a requirement. Each store must have one item less than $3. Do you know that? No? Yeah, those are heartland marketplace. You go to downtown, don't expect that. Whoever say $10, it is Orchard Road. Maybe not enough. So. This $10, it's got value. If I give to you, do you want it or not?
I want
it. Want? Yeah, of course it's got value. But what if I crash it? You still want it? Why? I spit on it. The most you wash it, correct? Value. But what if I step on it? How? No, I didn't step on it because the face of my late president is there. But what if you step on it? Do you still want it or not?
Yes.
Why? Because the value is still there. And it's like this, Sometimes we feel that the world is trying to crash us. Sometimes we feel that the world, I mean, we get spit upon. Sometimes we feel that we've been trampled. But our value to God never changed. Because you are God's masterpiece. You know, the stone that I give you, I have one stone every time I put in my pocket. Because I'm faster, sometimes we do get a bit discouraged in certain ways. Mm-hmm. But after that, say, every time I put my pocket, it gets too rounded. So I put on my laptop just to remind me. Yeah. So I want you to see this. So if I were to say this $10 note, if I want to give it away, how many of you want it? Put up the first hand I see gets it. Who wants this $10 note?
Yes.
Yeah, tell you something. What's your name, by the way?
Zhao.
Zhao. Oh, Zhao. Japan Airlines. Zhao, $10. I tell you, this $10 will be more than $10 if one day when you're down, you feel that you have been pressured. You feel like giving up, but you see this, you say, ha. I don't know who the picture was, but the message was that the value never changed.
What you
it is yours.
I'm just kidding.
No, it's not. Put, if I were you, I frame it up. Or put it in your, as a bookmark in your Bible. But at the students, I tell you what, that $10 you cannot use, so not so good. I will give you another $10. This one, because you put up your hand, you go. This one is for you. That one is for you to spend. That's one for you to spend. Yeah, you can treat somebody. I mean, but you see, the idea is this. I want us to see the world can hem us in, but we are God's masterpiece. No, don't ever forget. And that's the message I want to bring to you from this text. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your wonderful loving kindness. Thank you, Father, for these words that you've given us to Paul when you wrote to the Ephesians to encourage them. That truly, Lord, we are not only your poem, your end product, your workmanship, but we are your masterpieces, each one of us. And that's truly, Lord, we remember that even if we study or do the things that you've planned for us, we will give you our best because you gave us your best. Thank you indeed for loving us and for watching over us. For all this, Lord, I give thanks and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.